Good morning, people. Good morning. Welcome to El Paso Bible. It is so good to see you here and looking forward to worshiping the Lord together. There are exciting things happening at El Paso Bible. Men's breakfast is coming Saturday, 8 in the morning. So we get together, we talk about Jesus, and we have a good breakfast. I think I mentioned in the past, one of the things that COVID-19 has done to not only people in El Paso, America, but the whole world is separate them. Families getting separated, church fellowships getting separated. So men's breakfast is an awesome opportunity to come and just fellowship with other like-minded people. So we encourage you to come to that, men, if you are able to. Youth, we are starting a new series in the Gospel of John. We will be dealing with the purpose and mission of Jesus, his death, his rejection, and ultimately his resurrection tonight and for the next 3 weeks, 6 p.m. Last but not least, Vacation Bible School is around the corner. And I know some of you are involved as volunteers and leaders. But if there is one single thing that you can do to help out is say a prayer or 10. Say a prayer that the Lord would bless the ministry and that everything would turn out smoothly, logistically, and ministry-wise. There is also a sign-up sheet in the lobby for snacks, yes? For snacks, so if you would like to help out with that, go ahead and sign up. Today I'm reading out of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I think we'll have the words up in the screen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will or desire of God. Shall we pray? Father, we are thankful this morning for your love. We are thankful for your awesome grace, and that we're able to come together as a body, as a church, and sing about that and pray about that. And we ask that everything we do this morning would be to glorify you and to bring honor to your name. I ask that you encourage us and strengthen us through the teaching of your word. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. Church, would you now stand with us if you are able to and have a moment of worship?
Search the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fail are never enough. And you came along and put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied, hearing your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountains is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again.
Oh,
change the way you love me. Nothing can change the way I belong to you. Yes, I do. Nothing can separate.
Sing it out.
Nothing can change the way you love me. Nothing can change the way I belong to you. Yes, I do. Nothing can separate. I'm gonna climb a mountain. I am a child of love. I found a word of freedom. I am a child of love. I'm gonna climb a mountain. I'm gonna shout about it. I am a child of love. I found a word of freedom. I found a friend in Jesus. I am a child of love. Oh, yeah. Oh. Good God Almighty, hope you'll find me praising your name no matter what comes. 'Cause I know where I'd be without your mercy. So I keep praising your name at the top of my lungs. Your name, some broken nights, and you showed up and patched me up like you do every time I get amnesia. I forget that you keep coming around. Ain't no way you'll ever let me down. Good God Almighty, I hope you'll find me praising your name no matter what comes. 'Cause I know where I'd be without your mercy. So I can praise your name at the top of my lungs. Tell me, is he good?
He is good.
Tell me, is he God?
He is God.
He is good God Almighty. You say your love goes on forever, that your mercy never stops. Why would I assume you'd be somebody that you're not? Like sun in the morning, I know you're gonna be there every day. So what on earth could make me be afraid? Good God Almighty, I hope you'll find me praising your name no matter what comes. I know where I'd be without your mercy. So I keep praising your name at the top of my lungs. Tell me, is he good?
He is good.
Tell me, is he God?
He is God.
He is good God Almighty. Praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime, praise him when the sun goes down. Love him in the morning, love him in the noontime, love him when the sun goes down. Good God Almighty, I hope you'll find me praising your name no matter what comes. 'Cause I know where I'd be without your mercy. So I keep praising your name at the top of my lungs. Tell me if he
good.
Tell me, is he God?
He is God.
He is good. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down.
You may be seated.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all are doing well. Kaylee, you're doing well, aren't you?
Yes.
It's Kaylee's birthday today, by the way. She is 9 years old today. Now, if you have not succumbed to her marketing skills with the donuts in there, I mean, I never eat a donut, but by golly, I almost eat three when she hands them to me. So y'all say happy birthday to Kaylee. We try to remember the days that are the days, you know. If it's your birthday on Monday, you're out of luck. That's how it goes. But Sunday, we try to remember. Children, so you guys can go to Children's Church. Now we have, so 4 to 8 adventurers. And from roughly 9 up to about 5th grade, go to Explorers over here. And we're gracious and flexible. So if you end up in the wrong place, just be gracious and flexible back and we'll move you around. But that's the general principles, right? All right. Easy enough. That's a blessing, isn't it? All right. Go ahead and turn your Bibles, though, while they're getting situated to Ephesians chapter 4. We're continuing this. And by the way, Jacob accused me of trying to be like, I don't know what. But he said, you're following the Aerosmith song, aren't you? No. Aerosmith got this from the Bible, I'm pretty sure. Maybe. Whatever. But walk this way. We're talking about Ephesians 4. We're talking about our walk. That's what Ephesians actually is. Right, that it is a discussion of, as a local body, how we're supposed to walk together in community, together, ministering with each other, ministering according to the gifts that God has given us in the measure that Christ has given them to us. And we're supposed to understand that Christ is then using that service to fit us together according to His best possible purpose, best possible function to achieve His purpose in this world. And so we're talking about that. Here, and not to be too short about it, but previously, right, we had two main points, and that was don't be a baby and grow up, right? Two sides of the same coin. Don't be a baby and grow up. And I'm not being mean. We're being biblical. I mean, Jesus and Paul actually said that, right? We're not to be children anymore. We're not supposed to suffer at the hands of every wind of doctrine. We're not supposed to be floating like a rubber ducky in the bathtub, floating up and down with every wave that comes through. In society around us, we're supposed to hold the line and keep the Bible at the center of what we do, keep Jesus at the center of what we do in the local body, and not suffer things to penetrate and infiltrate the church and alter that focus. That's what Paul was telling Ephesus to do. He's telling Ephesus, guys, I know I spent 3 years there. I evangelized all of y'all. I not only evangelized you, but I spent nearly 3 years there teaching you. Loving you, discipling you. And he was needing to tell them this. So don't feel like you're getting instruction that is below your level. Okay? It's not. These guys were discipled in nearly a perfect manner by the Apostle Paul himself, and they still needed to be reminded not to be babies in Ephesus. And that they needed to grow up into Christ. How do we do that? Well, he told us, you got to speak the truth in love. And remember that isn't speak the truth in niceness. Yes? Nice is not in the spiritual gift list. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. Being nice. Being nice is subjective. We talked about that. Kindness is not. Love is not. Speaking the truth in love, understanding that there are hard things that we might have to say to somebody in order to seek their best interest. I mean, that almost sums up pastoral ministry. In its entirety. Speaking the truth in love. Telling people what they need to hear for their best interest to be served. And using our gifts within the parameters that Christ has set. Each functioning as a part of this body with the gifts that He has given. As a body, as a structure, a body functioning together and as a unit. And submitting to the process that Christ has set up for that, to be equipped by those who are given the task of equipping. Within Scripture, we have representation of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors who are also teachers. And functioning in that area that we've been fitted into function. So that, not just for its end. Does that sound, it has a purpose. so that the body builds itself up in love. A lot of people have problems with the church. Does that surprise you? A lot of people have problems with the church because they come to church and they say, they're supposed to love me like Jesus did. They have a total misunderstanding of how Jesus loved people. You whitewashed tombs, you pit of... He loved people in a variety of ways as they needed it, right? They expect to come into a church, and the very day that they come into the church, they expect to feel a hallmarky kind of love that is expressed, a warm, fuzzy feeling, and that's not always how that is. The love is built up. We should be kind to people. It might help to smile a little more. You know, remember their names, that kind of thing. Things we all struggle with sometimes. But the love is built up as we serve together and submit to being equipped and being built up together in love. Love is not the precursor. Love is the product of the local body being built up. So we have to serve in order to experience that. So, here we are in verse 17, and that's how we start. So, or therefore, it's kind of a continuation of his thought. He says, "This I say, and testify together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles," or the nations, I would use nations there, "also walk." Walk no longer. It's actually not an imperative, it's just a statement of fact. It's an infinitive. He says, this is how you should walk. You could put that in there. You should walk no longer like that. That's how you speak to somebody who's capable of rationale, of reasonable thinking, right? Yeah? When you're not talking to somebody who's capable of rational thought, what do you say? Do not do that! Stop where you are! Sorry, is that a little loud? Stop! Yes? But when you're talking to somebody who has the Spirit indwelling them and is seeking maturity and is trying to speak the truth in love and trying to serve in the local body, you can speak with an admonition. You can tell them, this is what you should do. And that's the concept here. Paul is, he has the authority. He claims the authority all over the place. I could tell you what to do, guys. I could tell you exactly what you need to do, but let's reason about this. You should do this. You should walk no longer that way. Don't walk that way. Some people don't like even that. They don't care for it. It's an admonition, but they say, you shouldn't tell me how to do anything. You should just tell me that Jesus loves me and let him work in my life. They've missed part of Ephesians. Haven't they? How am I supposed to love you like Jesus loves you? Who does the equipping? At least me. Y'all have a part in equipping each other, I'm sure, as well. But explicitly in Ephesians 4. So this is the equipping of the saints is the responsibility of these offices, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors who are also teachers. And that's me. And so some people will literally come to me and they'll say, "Pastor, it's not your job to tell me what to do." No, that's not true. It's not my job to make you do it. But it is definitely my job to tell you what to do. And to be honest, I don't like that much all the time. If you find somebody that likes that, they probably shouldn't be doing it too much, right? It's not easy. You think it's fun to come up here and stand and tell people that Paul says don't be a baby to you bunch of grown-ups? Stop being babies. Grow up into Christ. It's definitely my job to tell you what you ought to do. It's not to make you do it. That's Jesus' job. And by golly, he will do it. uses that as they just got off the hook. You don't want Jesus to make you do it. It would be way better for you to decide today to do what Jesus wants you to do. Paul does, don't walk that way. Don't walk like the nations, like the peoples of the earth. You watch enough news, I'm sure, to know how the nations of the earth walk. That's a figure of speech in a society where everybody walked everywhere, every day, all the time for how you lived your life. Peripateo, the decisions that you make, the directions you go, the objectives you identify in your life, all of it together. The nations of the earth, how do they walk? They're lost. Y'all do watch some news, right? Don't watch 24/7 news. You're only getting 15 minutes of news 24 hours a day. But it only takes the 15 minutes once or twice to get the picture, doesn't it? The nations of the earth don't know what they're doing. Don't walk that way. In a different way. Remember, this is a discussion about our walk. This is a discussion about our walk. Our walk is not the same as our identity. Our identity gives us an option to obey this, to walk in the way that Christ has told us to walk, in the way that Paul, and avoid the way that Paul is saying, don't do that. Don't go that way. But it doesn't change who we are. The walk doesn't change your identity. We know this. In the last 20 years, the number of people who have survived their wounds in warfare has climbed exponentially, thankfully. It also means that there's a lot of people that walk around with far more prosthetics, veterans. Yes? They walk differently, don't they? Even with the best prosthetic? Does it change who they are? No. There are some changes that have taken place perhaps in how they see, how they grow. How they... That's the person. Your walk, the way you walk, doesn't change who you are. But Paul still says, so these people whose identity is in Christ, and we went through, they're recipients of every spiritual blessing from the heavenlies. They have a long list, Ephesians 1. Of things that they have received as being beneficiaries of that identity in Christ. And Paul is telling them, don't walk that way. Don't walk that way. And this is why people get a little upset. Well, I can walk any way I want. I am a child of the King. And you are. If you trust in Christ and you are in Him, you are a child of the King. We've been over this. God doesn't hate any of His children. Amen? God doesn't hate any of His children. He loves all of them. But Scripture says that a father who doesn't discipline his son hates that child. He disciplines all of us who are in Christ. People tell me that that's the most important thing, and I have to agree that who I am in Christ is the most important thing, but how we walk, the way we live our lives in this world, matters a lot, doesn't it? It doesn't alter. The way I walk doesn't change who I am in Christ, but it does affect a lot of other people. You take kindly, I think a lot of y'all are homeschoolers, so I'm not going to use the school bus illustration, but do you take kindly to other children treating your children poorly? Do you take kindly to other siblings treating their siblings poorly? Does it matter how their decisions affect people within the family? I hope that you demand that children in your family don't walk a certain way. I hope, because God does. It matters for our sakes. It matters for the sakes of people who are affected by our decisions. Right? You know that sinful choices don't just affect you, they have victims. All of them. As much as you might want to try to be, you think you can social distance your effects, right, of sin? just put a hula hoop around your waist and make sinful choices and keep people from being affected? Doesn't work. The sinful choices that we make affect other people. It's important for that reason. Our walk is important for that reason. Our walk is important this because we all suffer at the hands of other sinful choices. Yes? Amen? The sinful choices of generations past are affecting my family today, and it matters how I respond to them and how I walk before the Lord in order to mitigate those. Always depending on the grace of Christ, knowing that I cannot fully eradicate those effects, but that it matters how I respond to them. Trying to compensate, perhaps, for things that we've suffered at the hands of others. At the very least, not repeating the same mistakes. Though it's important. The decisions we make matter. We shouldn't make them according to this rubric. This is going to sound silly to you people who love Jesus in this room. We shouldn't walk this way. This I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk. This is how they walk. In the futility or vanity, emptiness of their mind. Empty heads. Being darkened in their understanding. Excluded from life, from the life of God. Because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to licentiousness or sensuality for the word is actually business. They're engaging in a profiteering enterprise. It says practice in my translation. That's weak. For the business of every kind of impurity with greediness. Yuck. Yuck. These are people Paul personally evangelized and discipled for 3 years. And he has to tell the church at Ephesus, do not succumb to walking that way. Walk that way no longer. What does that mean?
Stop it.
Well, I mean, stop it. But why do we say stop it? Because somebody's doing it. We say hypothetically, don't go that way. It would be unwise to progress down that trajectory if somebody's not doing something. But if they're walking out in the street in front of a truck, we say stop. Because they're doing it. No longer. Meketi is the word. This should kind of go without saying. I mean, futility, dim understanding, exclusion, ignorance, hard hearts, callousness, licentiousness, and not only licentiousness, but the business of licentiousness. The peoples of the earth profiteer from these things and are greedy about it. I don't know how to illustrate this, but you know, I'm from San Antonio. Priscilla and I are. We grew up there. We've been here a number of years now, and generally speaking, we have grown now to appreciate the regional cuisine. But every once in a while, we want some Tex-Mex. Because fajitas are Tex-Mex. And y'all don't know how to make them in El Paso. So, right? Central Texas people? Amen? If you want fajitas, you've got to have Tex-Mex. And we have a Tex-Mex place here from Central Texas named Chuy's. And there are people in this world, in this town, that call me Chuy. So it's a match made in heaven. I know that I must go there. Because it's my nickname for some people. It's Chuy. I can go there. People wonder if it's chewy like Chewbacca, you know, but it's not. That's not what they call me. I sometimes sound like that. But, you know, we go to Chewy's. My wife and I, we go to Chewy's and we're less like it. But we go in and we're looking at the lower priced things on the menu. You know what happens when you go into Chewy's? 14 plates of sizzling fajitas go by 6 feet. As soon as you walk in the door, you can hear it sizzle. And immediately, as you're sitting down, you go, I want what they're having. I don't know what I came in here for, but I want that. Whatever those is on those platters, that's what I want. That's what we grew up with. I never go there intending to have fajitas, but somehow that happens to me. I'll have what they're having. Now, say this is on the platter. Futility. Darkness. Exclusion. Ignorance. Hardness of heart. Callousness. Licentiousness. Imagine somebody walked in the door with a platter that had all those things on it. And imagine somebody going, I'll have some of what they're having. Probably wouldn't happen, huh? No? It's not fajitas on the platter, folks. It's destruction. That's what the world is serving up. And Paul has to tell these people in Ephesus, don't be tempted by that. It's not fajitas, folks. You don't want what they're having. And there's not even any guac on that platter, right? Free. So Ephesians, don't walk that way. You wouldn't think that you'd have to tell a believer that. But Paul did. The ones that he had overseen directly, their spiritual growth from being unbelievers, hearing about the gospel of Jesus Christ from the very first time, to being disciples, so that he had elders that came to him as he was going back to Jerusalem, and they wept because they knew that he would end up in chains if he continued on to Jerusalem. They spoke with authority on that matter. Spoke truth into his life. They had gone full circle. And he's having to warn them, don't be tempted to walk the way the world walks. Don't walk that way anymore. That's who you were. We went over that earlier in Ephesians. That's who you were. You were alienated from God. You were estranged from God. You were separate from all the promises that Israel had. Nothing was yours. So why would you do that? You know, someone said to me during a pretty difficult time in my life, something you've all heard, I'm sure, don't look back. You're not going that way. That was important for me. It was almost as tough to listen to as don't be a baby. Grow up, people. Don't look back. You're not going that way. Jesus doesn't have futility for you. He doesn't have ignorance for you. He doesn't have hardness of heart for you. He doesn't have exclusion. He has life and life abundantly. So don't walk that way. That's not where you're headed. You've already been there. You don't need to go back. It says that, but, verse 20, you did not learn Christ in this way. Nothing that I taught you about Jesus says that that's a good idea. Nothing. Paul was well aware of how they had been taught Christ. He had done it. He told them about Jesus. He said, you guys, I know exactly what you've been taught. There's not one detail that would seem to indicate that you should walk that way, but here you are doing it, so don't do it anymore. He had taught them for 3 years. He knew what they had been taught about Christ. He knew, as he says here, you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed, this is a rhetorical way of speaking, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, you could almost say sins. He says, I know you've heard him, and I know you've been taught. And truth is in Jesus. Everything that you learned about him is true. He knew that they had been taught. There is no instruction about Jesus Christ that says that there is a benefit to walking the way the peoples of the earth walk, of making the decisions that way, of engaging in purposeful futility, right? Don't you hate that in your life? Futility, I mean. Maybe you don't understand what the futility of their mind as it goes to the peoples of the earth means. But have you ever worked a whole day and got nothing done? I've done a few times. Guys who work on cars do this occasionally if they don't have a manual. I remember when I was about 17, I was cheap. I was so cheap that I was stupid. You can be so cheap that it makes you stupid. I was 17. I was also poverty stricken. So it went together well, personally. I had to fix something on my car. Hub bearing, front wheel drive, Ford Tempo, 1988. Car that I could afford. Took a slide hammer, and I beat the fool out of that hub for 8 hours that day. Couldn't get it off. I figured it was welded on there. It could have been. Until my neighbor came by and said, you know, you need a pair of snap ring pliers, son. Duh. $5 pair of Chinese snap ring pliers. Remove the snap ring. One pull and off comes the hub because I'd been beating on it like an idiot for 8 hours. You don't have to know exactly how all the peoples of the earth are walking the futility of their mind. You need to know that it is the futility of their mind. There's a whole variety of ways you can be so cheap as to be stupid. Right? It doesn't matter which one you choose. It's all futility. It's all futility. Be innocent of those things. Just trust. But that's not the way to go. You don't have to investigate all those. Truth is in Christ. Instead of living that way, we're going to walk this way. He doesn't actually even repeat the peripateto, but it's in contrast to that. But since you've heard Christ and you've been taught in Christ and truth is in Jesus, verse 22 says that in reference to your former manner of life, you put it aside, the old self. The phrase there is to change your clothes. Don't let that identify you. Yesterday I did y'all know I do a few bee removals here and there. I got into a tangle one with one a little bit bigger than we thought yesterday. And I won. But looking at me afterwards, you might not have known it. I was so dirty I wouldn't even go buy chicken strips at Cane's until I took a shower. I had to put that aside. Do you know how dirty a redneck has to be to not go get chicken strips? I mean, seriously? Okay. It's filthy. Put it aside. My clothes were rotting on my body at that point. Covered in wax, they were stiffening as the wax was cooling, as my body heat was cooling down. You know, that's how they make the leather knife sheath stiff. You know, gun holsters, they soak it in beeswax, and I was soaked in beeswax. I was about to not be able to walk in my Wranglers. Put that aside. It's a burden. Lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. It's worse than dirty. It's rotting. To go back to the old self, to walk the way the world walks, carrying around it like it's carrying around a rotting corpse with you. Have you ever had to tell somebody, hey, put that dead body down? Paul's going to tell the Ephesians, some of y'all are carrying the dead body around. Put it down. It's corrupting. It's rotting. I say stuff like that, guy, to make you understand. You don't. People treat like we're making some special demand of you in your life that you obey Jesus. It's the only sensible possible option. Because you've never in your life probably had to tell somebody to put that dead body down. Right? Paul is having to tell people he discipled for 3 years. Drop that corrupt piece of flesh off. Leave it. Jesus doesn't want you carrying it. He doesn't want you walking that way. But some are. So stop. It's not spectacular in the real sense. It's the only sensible thing. So don't walk that way. Put off that old man. It's rotting. It's corrupting. And be made new. Be made new in the spirit of your mind. Now, y'all speak Christianese fluently. You do. I know. I do. What does it mean when somebody commands you with a passive like that? Be made new. What is the nature of the command? Submission, isn't it? He's not telling you to make yourself new. That would be an entirely different way of phrasing it. That would be a middle voice or active voice, potentially. How it's phrased. Stop fighting the renewal that Christ is working in your life. Be made new. How do you fight it? Carrying the corpse around. Walking that way. Don't fight it. Be made new. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And the thing that animates your thoughts. Focus on the profiteering to be made and the lust of the flesh or the deceit, sins, on the futility of the mind, on hardness of hearts. We kind of celebrate people with hard hearts in society, don't we? Maybe. I think so. Be renewed. Christ is trying. His spirit is renewing the mind. Put the corpse down. Let him do it. And put on the new self. The new man. I don't like self. You're yourself. Put on the new man, which of God has been, actually it's a participle, it's being created in newness, righteousness and holiness of the truth. Put it on. This is why, guys, that we can't just rely on those things. When I told you about people that said that the most important thing is who I am in Christ, and we'd get no argument for that, right? But when they argue with me about that, they will say there is nothing more that I need to do. And that's also correct with a qualification, to be made right with God. But what about all the poor people that are being affected by my poor decisions when I walk the way the peoples of the earth walk? What am I supposed to do with the baggage that I carry from generations of people who are walking the way the peoples of the earth are walking? Do you bear those? Nobody wants to. Every once in a while y'all get a deer in the headlights look. I know you are, because generationally this is a burden that everybody bears. So what do you do with that so you don't bleed on your kids and your grandkids and your nieces and your nephews? You have to put on the new man. It's not about how right you are with Jesus. It's not about what your identity is. It's about what is wise and what is loving and what is responsible for the people over whom you've been given responsibility. We live in a culture where people divest their responsibility all day long and we give them a parade. We can't. To put on the new man. And that's something that you and I do. We have to do it every day. We don't walk that way. We shuck the corpse and we put on the new man. Because our lives, I'm talking about our eternal life, our lives here, the lives of those for whom we care and love and have responsibility for, are important to us. You know, we have a joke, right? When a man says that he would lay down his life for his wife, he means that he would stop a bullet or jump in front of a train for her, not that he would do the dishes or vacuum. Amen. Praise Jesus.
Preach
It's a word back there, Steve, yeah. It's a joke, but it's kind of true. Could we kind of apply that here? We say we love our families and the people. I love y'all to death. I would give my life for you right now. I would. But every day, Christ asks us to put on the new man that's being created. He asks us to submit to being renewed in the spirit of our minds, so that the things that animate our thoughts are the things like speaking the truth in love and serving according to the gift that He's given us and the measure that He's given us in the beautiful building that He's building out of us in a temple of the Spirit of God. Most of the time, He doesn't ask us to step in front of a train for the body of Christ or to catch a bullet. Most of us are ready for that, right? We need to put on the new man and be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Because that's who God created us to be and what He created us to do in this newness of life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day, and we do thank You for Your Word. And I thank You for the privilege that it is to spend these years of my life studying and teaching it. But Father, we thank You for the love that You have for us, for the instruction that You've given to us, because You want what's best. And You want us to fulfill the purpose that You've given us in this life. We thank You and we love You for it, because we couldn't have conceived of that plan. If it was up to us, we'd walk the way the peoples of the earth walk. So we thank You for it. We love You and we love this life that we've been given in Your Son simply by grace through faith. And it's in His precious name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand? We'll dismiss with a song.
I can count the times I've called Your name some broken nights. You showed up. Patch me up. Just, I forget that You keep coming around. Yeah, ain't no way You'll ever let me down. Good God Almighty, I hope You'll find me. Praising Your name no matter what comes. 'Cause I know where top of my lungs. Tell me, is He good?
He is good.
Tell me, is He God?
He is God.
He is good God Almighty. Tell me, is He good?
He is good.
Tell me, is He God? In the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down.
You're dismissed. Have a great Sunday.